Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good night, good whatever time you're listening to Six Rings and Football Things. Andy Jumbo Hart here alongside WEEI.com's Mike Cadlick.
Yo.
Prospect edition, Michael, the last prospect edition, final two positions as we head toward the 2024 NFL draft, a little over a week away. The safeties and the linebackers, two positions that you and I were just chatting as we go beyond, getting ready to go on air. Certainly the linebacker position feels like a faded value position maybe in the National Football League, where, you know, we'll get into specifics and names, but yeah, there's a lot of guys that seem fine that, you know, you could plug in on a defense and probably be okay. Just like there's a lot of guys that are good in the NFL right now, but if they go down, does the season end? No. Linebacker probably not near the top of anyone's list anymore. And that's not to, I mean, not to take pot shots at a Fred Warner or a, you know, Matt Milano in Buffalo who goes down with an injury and the world kind of continues without you. It's not quarterback. It's not wide receiver. It's not edge rusher. It's not corner. It's not in that realm of the marquee positions. And safety in some ways is similar because of the, I would say, and certainly New England, the evolution of, well, there's a lot of guys on the field. Which ones are linebackers? Which ones are corners? And which ones are safeties? You almost don't even know by definition who is filling that role anymore. You got, you know, Adrian Phillips. He certainly looks like he's playing linebacker and he's taking on a lot of guards or, you know, Miles Bryant. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? What's he doing? So
there's box safety, free safety. There's the star position. They all kind of move around. It's that amoeba defense.
Yep.
And everyone can kind of do everything. And it's like, they're kind of linebackers. They're kind of safeties. They kind of just play defense. It's like when we talked about Brad Stevens, positionless basketball a couple of years ago in the Celtics, it's kind of like that on defense now across the NFL.
Absolutely. And Bill Belichick in his final years kind of, and more than his final years for quite a while, kind of steered into that idea.
Yep.
You know, we don't have free and strong, we have left and right or whatever. And then, you know, even though they did kind of had free and strong, they kind of had Devin McCourty and then a bigger safety. But, you know, the Marte Mapus of the world, what position does he play? He's a linebacker. He's a safety. So both positions, I think, offer up some talent that can help some NFL teams. Neither position, I don't think, is going to have a first-round pick. You're talking about day two picks at both spots, which would fall in line with, like, running back and some of the other devalued positions in the National Football League right now.
Yep.
To kind of put them sort of in their place. Safety, obviously, Patriots re-sign Kyle Duggar to a big deal. He's here to be a mainstay moving forward. You have Jabril Peppers, who we've talked about on the regular Six Rings feed, is sort of looking like he wants to take a leadership role. Certainly brings a tone-setting style to the defense. He's a thumper. You know, as he jokes, he probably played 30 or 40 years too late in the evolution of the game of football.
Hates the hip drop tackle rule.
Yeah.
He really is. He would be a prime, like, 1998 linebacker.
Yeah.
Even earlier than that, maybe.
Andy Hardo Hart likes Jabril Peppers because he's a Hardo, too. It's a different era. Big pads, fullbacks. He'd love to take on fullbacks in the hole and that whole thing.
What's a fullback?
Yeah, I know. Sadly. So true. Talk about devalued. But yeah. We'll always have the memories of James Devlin in a Super Bowl run where he made Sony Michel look good on a football field in the biggest of games.
Yep.
So we mentioned Mapu. Mm-hmm. What exactly you think he is as we sort of set the depth chart and figure out needs in the evolution of the back end of this defense?
I look at him as a safety, as somebody who can kind of just, and I know that that probably goes against what a lot of people think. I think a lot of people want to see him end up playing linebacker, but like, and again, he's going to do both. He's going to play both. He's going to go back and forth. And it's basically, like we said, it's the same position, but I look at what they have at backer in like your true traditional sort of linebacker in Tavai and Bentley and even Taki Taki right now. Like those are guys who are going to be, you know, that second level in the middle where if Mapu can continue to learn and grow underneath a guy like Kyle Duggar, I can see the two of them playing in the back end. And then you can rotate them back and forth from there. They still need a free safety, which we'll get to that. And like you said, they don't really, I guess Belichick didn't really call it a free and strong, but like Devin McCourty was their free safety for 10 years here and he was awesome at it. And so like that's, they're still missing that role. Now they made do with Peppers and Duggar obviously last year and they made it work, but they could still use someone in depth there. So if they can turn Mapu into that more safety position than linebacker, then it becomes less of a need. Where if they play him at linebacker, then linebacker was pretty full and you still need to look back to a safety.
Yeah, I do think the biggest need of these two positions, probably linebacker and safety, is a guy who trends toward free safety. I don't know if he has to be a free safety, but even, you know, the loss of Miles Bryant affects that. There's like a sneaky lack of depth or layer you had there. He's a guy that played a lot of football the last few years in the back end of this defense, whether people want to admit it or like it or not. He was out there a lot for a good defense, and not that he's Devin McCourty, but you lose Devin McCourty, then you lose Miles Bryant. I know Jonathan Jones has played some safety over the years, and they've dabbled with that a long time, corners having to have safety like roles, and maybe they'll do some of that. Or I'll be honest though, I don't think the cornerback depth is all that good, and you don't have that many guys that are like
exactly. And that's options. We talk about Jonathan Jones as this jack of all trades player, and we'll just put him there, but he can't play three positions, he has to play one. Like, it can't be Jonathan Jones and eight guys out there. So, there is certainly needs all across the board, really.
So, let's start with safety because I personally think that's of these two positions the bigger need, where you might target a guy. I also do think, I know we got on Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings for like, oh, we have a really high waiver wire claim. So after people draft, like, okay, I don't know that the execution there was great, but some veteran players will change teams or land with new teams post-draft. And you might be able to get a, I don't know the name, some guy who the Miles Bryant of another team, and you might bring him in.
Exactly.
So I think that's part of it. But
well, making that point too with the waiver wire thing, like last year, for them to rely on it is silly, but like realistically, like objectively, that like last year they made like two or three moves on the waiver wire that those guys are still on the team. Alex Austin, Marco Wilson, Christian Ellis, those guys were like waiver wire claims that Nathan Rourke too, like they were able to make it work. And they're not that they're great players, but they're one of 90 right now where other teams didn't really have that luxury last year because they were lower on the waiver
wire. And the reality is you're a freaking team that's picking third in the draft. It's not like you have 70 stud players. How are we going to cut to 53? Like, you're in a transitional period here in a lot of areas on your roster. So that is just part of the reality of this April, this, you know, Jerod Mayo, Elliot Wolf first year. Okay. So looking at some of the names on the safety list, and as I said, if you go by the Beast or you go by NFL.com and some of the second round pick is about as high as the safety spot's going to go. The one caveat I'll leave is depending on what you think of, and I know this is blasphemy, I guess, but I still think Cooper DeJean might be kind of a hybrid free safety type.
Sure.
So if the Patriots were targeting a free safety, I think that's the guy I would draft and say, whether you want to call him that or not, I'd like to add him to the depth chart and see where he can play. And yeah. I think, but he's going to be a high draft pick. He's going to go in the top half of the first round, maybe at least top.
Yeah. He'll be a first round pick for sure. Yeah. And then probably likely your top 20.
Right. So unlikely you're in there. So a couple guys that popped up on the list. The first rating, I think, safety for the Beast in Dane Brugler. Good to have that again, by the way, because I love reading his little breakdowns of people and like the backstories. And he's like, he is the fuel for those ABC features where you find out somebody's like father died the night that he found out he was going to declare for the NFL. Right. Like the, all these sob stories, which sometimes are too much, but sometimes are also
sometimes like, they're really good. And sometimes it's like there's. You could talk about a lot more than what you're talking about right now.
Yeah. It's kind of like the dynasty. It's like, okay, we know everybody has tragedy in their life. Do we need to beat us over the head with every tragedy? Like, how about we just praise them for being a good football player or something? But, so Jaden Hicks out of Washington State, 2 year player, 6'2", 215, ran a 4.5 40. So good speed, level there. He can definitely cover man to man. He definitely has some of that ability. If you're looking for more of a free safety type, you watch him play. He's all over the field, flying around, definitely hits a little bit, which I like in my safeties. You see some safeties who don't like to hit. And then, and I know the modern game, you actually get penalized literally and figuratively for being a hitter at safety sometimes. Yep. I thought he was fine. I'm not jumping at him. If anybody, I kind of liked it's the Miami kid, Cameron Kitchens, who seems like his stock is falling because he ran a 4.6 something 40. And like, is he fast enough? I don't know. I watched a lot of highlights where he looked like a really good football player making a lot of plays. And he goes to Miami. Right. He wasn't playing at, you know, some NESCAC school or something like that. There were other good athletes on the field, and I didn't see a guy that couldn't compete speed wise. So and he was an All-American 2 years ago, 11 interceptions over the last couple of years. This is Kitchens from Miami. I'm talking about 5'11", 202. I know people like my people won't like him because in the middle of the screen, when you scroll down on the NFL.com scouting reports, they have that athletic score or whatever. And he was really low on the athletic score. So God forbid.
Gotta be an athlete.
Well, He's a good enough athlete for me. He tackles, he blitzes. I thought his ball skills were really good for a guy who supposedly isn't an athlete, isn't that good. So of just those couple guys, I think he's like the fourth or fifth safety, but like a second round type pick. I think that's Cameron Kitchens is a good guy.
It kind of feels like that's what they all are. Like you talk about Jaden Hicks, even Kitchens, like they're good players. None of these guys are, I mean, there's been safeties and linebackers in the past that are top five, top 10 picks. There just aren't many of those in this class. And is it the devaluing of the position? Perhaps. But like my number one guy, right, is Tyler Newbin from Minnesota. Yep. And I think he's a good fit for the Patriots too, because I think he's the best free safety in the class, but he also does more than that. Like he's also a hard hitter. He also goes up and make tackles. Like it's similar to McCourty in my opinion. And I like a Big Ten free safety. Has to do much more than just cover. Like, yes, he, and I'm reading some stats from him, like in 2023, 4 pass breakups, 5 interceptions. He only allowed a quarterback rating of 17.5 and passes thrown his way. So like that's elite level coverage, but he also hits. He can also go and cover the run. So really like him. 6'1", 199. So I mean, tall, but a little on the smaller side, but put on some weight and you'll be fine as long as you can keep up the speed. And the other guy I like is Cole Bishop from Utah. He is a box safety. He is 6'2", 206, 143 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 3 interceptions over the last 2 seasons. I always wonder, I guess it's more so Big 12, but sometimes like Pac-12 defenses are up and down, but Utah, they've had a good defense for the last couple of years. He was a captain of it the last couple of seasons. So I like those two guys. Those are sort of my top two I look at in the safety classes, Cole Bishop and then Tyler Newbin.
Bishop's solid for a guy who ran a 4.4. I didn't find him like as explosive as I expected. Kind of lacked a little wow. I actually wrote no wow. Interesting little nugget from the Beast on him. Grew up a Patriots fan. Like says he models his game after Rodney Harrison a little bit. So
I believe I believe he was born in Massachusetts actually. Oh, and then went elsewhere, but
That would be the Patriot fan connection.
Yes.
3-year player for them. I liked him, didn't love him. I actually, you bring up Newbin. I liked him the most as a cover guy. If you're looking for a guy that can cover, because I do think he's a borderline corner. Like, I think he's got the ability to probably cover in that, like Miles Bryant. Because I think Miles Bryant was a first listed as a safety, then went to corner or vice versa. And then they just started doing the DB thing with him. Yeah. I think Tyler Newbin has that second team All-American. I believe, if my notes are right, he led the team in interception 3 years in a row, which
sounds right.
Some of these guys lack production. That's always like the, how come he never has interceptions or too many pass defenses? Well, this is a guy that does have the production, the back end. You mentioned that he's a captain. He is a guy that I saw playing some zone and some man, which you want a little versatility.
Yep.
Who knows exactly what DeMarcus Covington and Jerod Mayo are, where they're going to take this defense moving forward. So yeah, he's definitely one of that top core group of safeties in the second, third round range.
Right.
And if you are looking for a cover guy, I think he's definitely in the mix. The Bullard kid from Javon Bullard out of Georgia, 5'11", 198. So a little undersized, not the biggest of guys. Ran a 4.47. I like the way he plays. I know I read somewhere that like Kirby Smart calls him a little stick of dynamite, which is always dangerous. Like you go back to those old like Bob Sanders, not that he's as good as Bob Sanders, but like little sticks of dynamite don't always last. They kind of get hurt or they can't stay on the field.
Yep.
But he tracks the ball well. He flies around, is definitely in that sort of aggressive energy kind of motor kind of guy.
Swagger to him a little bit.
And that whole thing. Now, you know my whole question about a lot of good players on that defense and how much does he benefit from being on that defense. And
the other guy I was going to bring up is his counterpart, Tyke Smith, who was like that star position on their defense. He's a safety, he's a backer, he moves all around, more so a box guy. But I mean, he's also good and covered and can also hit. But we talked about it in the defensive tackle pod or the interior offensive line and defensive line podcast, like Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy working off each other on the inside of the Longhorns D line. Do Tyke Smith and Javon Bullard just work well off each other in the back end of the Bulldogs defense, and then they're away from each other? And now, in theory, you're moving up the ladder, so you're going to be working with better players in the NFL, but it's also the SEC. It's also Georgia. Like, you know, things can change. And if you have to be the dude instead of the, I guess the beta to the alpha or whatever, then how, you know, how much better do you play? Right. So,
You mentioned sort of lean with, Kalen Bullock, the kid out of USC is definitely a leaner. 6'2", 188 is what I read. 4'4" guy. Sort of a coverage guy, got good range, led the team in interceptions the last couple of years. I did read where some teams are flat out just considering him kind of a cornerback on their roster.
You worry about tackling at that size. Like, I just, how are you going to wrap somebody up and not just get your shit pushed in, for lack of a better term? You know what I mean? Like it. And yes, you can have good technique, and yes, you can get in front guys and square guys up, but you know, how much power do you really have at under 190 pounds as a safety? So
A couple lower guys that on the list, the Malik Mustafa kid out of Richmond, went to Wake Forest, captain, 2-year player for them. Kind of a mini linebacker build, a little like 5'10", 206, so a little stockier build for him. 4'5", 440. I saw a box guy. He can tackle. He would fit in sort of the Adrian Phillips world, I think. Didn't wow me. He got a meh, which is never good when I write in my notes. Meh means I'm losing interest as I'm actually watching you play. Whereas the flip side of that is Dadrian
Taylor Demerson.
Yeah.
Texas Tech.
Yeah. He 5'10", 197, 3-year player for them. Good production. Does get bullied, I feel like, because he's not the biggest of guys.
He's undersized, but
also runs a 4.440. So, you know, if you can't be the strongest guy, sometimes it helps to be the fastest guy in a battle.
Right. And I noticed too that he's incredibly instinctual. Like he gets it. He knows
he's what's a center going fielder on. A little bit.
Yeah, he can read it. He understands like where the quarterback's going. And with that speed, he's there before the ball's there. And like that's a huge plus, is being able to know what's going on in front of you and then not getting, you know, burned off of it. So
he's a guy that I think could be a consideration. I think if my numbers are right, he was like seventh on the list of safeties for the Beast. So free safety, center field type, day three pick, certainly could be in the range of maybe what Elliot Wolf and Gerard Mayo will be looking to add to the back end as a developmental safety. So he was a guy that I thought was kind of interesting.
Yep. I'll add one more to the conversation before we move on to linebackers. It's someone who you might consider a linebacker too. Sione Vaki from Utah as well. Another, this is like the number one jack of all trades in this class. He played running back. He played linebacker. He played defensive line. He ran off the edge. He played safety. Like, he did everything for Utah. And I know it's, you know, it's cliche and it kind of screams Belichick and it screams Patriots, but a guy who can just play football, I want him on my team at some point. So if he's there in the later rounds, if Gerard Mayo needs a guy who just, hey, you can play football, I don't care what position you play, but we need you, I love that for them. I really like him as a player because that says a lot about, like, not really who you are as a person, but more so like as a football player, where like you're just going to go out there and play and do whatever the team needs because I just know how to play football.
Right. That's the one thing I do like still about these positions is I do think they, I don't know if they endear themselves to or these guys develop or whatever the connection. I do think these are pure football players. Like these are guys that love football, like Mike linebackers or safeties. Like, ah, I mold my game after Rodney Harrison. Well, that's not a sexy, even though he's a Hall of Fame talent, that's not, you know, corners and receivers and edge rushers and all the sexiness and
1,000 yards and cool face masks and like all that.
No, like this is still kind of gritty football and guys that love the game and maybe even our throwback guys like a Peppers. But
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so transitioning to the linebacker position, which we talked about, I don't think is a massive need. You have Bentley in there. Tavai has become a better player than I ever expected him to become. Taki, like, you have some bodies in there. I also feel like there's always veteran bodies. Like, mm-hmm. for years, I always felt like there'd be this guy that would come through Patriots camp and he'd get cut, and then he'd wind up somewhere else, and I'd realize at the end of the year he has 100 tackles with that team, and he was like cut in training camp. So I feel like those, again, the evolution of the devaluation of the position, like, you can find a guy that throw on the field and he'll have 100
I was going to say, I also feel like 100 tackles is so overrated now. It's just like, oh, he's just kind of there.
You don't devalue the position any more than
I'm sorry. That's just how I feel about it. I like linebacker. I don't love linebackers. And I mean, if you're fast enough and you kind of know where the ball's going and you just run and throw your shoulder in at the very end, they're probably going to give you a tackle. Sorry.
What are you, a quarterback?
Yeah.
Douche.
Yes, I never played football. I just played quarterback. That was my saying. I didn't.
Exactly. Yep. I like the way you talk.
Yep.
Okay, so some interesting names atop the linebacker list. I'll just go with the Beast, and his top was Junior Colson out of Michigan, which it's the damnedest thing. Michigan had the best offensive line, had a really good running back, had the best defense with a middle linebacker who makes a million plays. It's almost like J.J. McCarthy really had it made playing quarterback for that team. But this is a sort of tackle machine kind of guy, 6'2", 240. Good story if you want to read into those things, like an adopted guy from Haiti. His dad died, was in an orphanage, ends up in the U.S. Like, some of that's really cool. Just a traditional linebacker. I would say, like, you could plug this guy in on most NFL defenses, and assuming he doesn't get hurt, by the end of a 17-game season, he's going to have 130 tackles or something like that. And everybody will like him. He won't change games for the positive or the negative, really. He'll fill one of those 11 spots.
Yep.
But he's an NFL player who just is yet to find out which NFL team he'll be playing for.
That's my whole thing on Junior Colson. It's like, I try and rank these guys so I can write about it after too and put it on the website, right? And like, I had him like number 4, number 3, number 5. Like, I think when you talk about the meh, like, I don't think he's meh, but I just don't, like, it doesn't pop. Nothing shines. He's just good at football. And I feel like I've beat this down for the last, 22 minutes we've been recording, but that's kind of what I feel about linebackers in this class and safeties in this class, is they're just, they're just good football players. So like Junior Colson, probably one of the best defenders on Michigan, on one of the best teams, plays well, gets the stats, does it all, probably will be a good special teamer in the league as well. But like, okay, great. I'm really poo-pooing the linebackers. It's kind of sad.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, but I'll give you my number one if we want to do that.
Okay, what do you got?
How about Peyton Wilson, NC State?
I like him.
24 really years old. He's a little on the older side. He's dealt with some injuries, but
whoa.
He is.
He doesn't have shoulders. Not dealt with injuries. I'm not sure he actually still has shoulders.
That's true. Yeah, that's
he's had shoulder surgeries like every year of his life.
Yeah,
he's like put back together multiple times.
But if he stays healthy, he's really good, and that's the scary part. But like, take the health out of it, and obviously you can't really do that. But he's like your typical 2024 linebacker, where he's not the biggest guy, he's not the strongest guy, but he's fast, he makes plays, he knows where the ball's going, he can cover, and I just like that. Like, he's not your Ray Lewis size, he's not your Patrick Willis. He's, leaner, like thinner, but cut, and just kind of flies around the field. So I like him as a player. He's probably day two guy that I don't really think the Patriots are going to go after, but I like him. He's probably my favorite linebacker in the class.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. Now, I will say the leanness, I do think, I'm always a big believer in this, he wore number 11. I think it's a leaning number. I think if he had put 55 on, he might have looked a little thicker and like more traditional linebackery. But that's not the day, you know, we're in a different day and age where they wear single digits and they do whatever the hell they want to do. And Tom Brady.
That does kind of, it's funny you say that because that does kind of happen. Like you watch guys in college and you're like, oh, they were just like a tiny little MF-er. And then they get to the league. It's like, that's him. Like, oh, just because he's a number 54 now, it's like he doubled in size. Yeah,
absolutely. It affects the way you perceive them, even though you're like, well, he still weighs the same and he's still the same height. But Peyton Wilson is definitely a good player. He won the Butkus, the Benarek. Great year. Been in college since like, I wrote something down. He led the team in tackles in 2019.
19, that's crazy.
20, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah, that's crazy. 24. Like, and I don't know. Is that good or bad? Like, I kind of
I don't care.
At it. Yeah, me too.
I'm more worried. So his shoulders to me are a legitimate concern because I just, he's a linebacker. So he's hitting with his shoulders. He's taking on people with his arms. When you put your arms out, that puts pressure back into your shoulder. Like, he's a major medical evaluation for me. I wouldn't possibly have any idea because talent wise, he's a really good player.
Yep.
But, and this isn't like I kind of poo-poo Penix for his ACLs. It's like, well, everybody tears their ACL at least once in their career. And once you fix it, you usually just kind of forget about it, especially at quarterback, although even at most positions, but shoulders for a linebacker, I just feel like,
That's tough.
A danger because he's really good.
Yep.
And the age doesn't bother me. If you get Dr. James Andrews to sign his slip and say he's fine, then I think he's a good football player. I absolutely would take him. Another guy who I think is a really good football player, I really like, Texas A&M, Edgerrin Cooper.
Yep.
Not related to Edgerrin James. That wouldn't make any sense, Andy, but it's the only Edgerrin I thought of before this one. So it's all I thought of.
Peyton Wilson, not related to Peyton Manning.
Good point. Because that's not how we're learning a lesson here on the Six Rings podcast. Having the same first name doesn't mean you're related.
But Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who we'll get to after, is related to Jeremiah Trotter Sr. because their last names are the same.
Correct. Yep. So that's how that works. Yep. 6'2", 230, 4'5", 1 for Cooper. Something that was just randomly written in the Beast. This will be an example of, I don't know whether I need to know this or not. It just said, his girlfriend died tragically in November of 2023. And it's like, I don't like that. Like, what are we doing? Well, I mean, I guess you have to piece all the information together, but like, that's awful.
What do you look at it? Like, okay, this sounds like heartless, but like, okay, they played through adversity. Like actual, like life-changing stuff. Like, I don't know. That's bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that, but 2-year player, all American, he just flat out, you know, my thing, energy, effort, and attitude. I think he's like on my all EEA team. Like he runs around, hits it, sees it. Sometimes it's a little delayed in his reads, but he's also fast enough to make up a lot of ground. Can hit quarterbacks in the backfield, can tackle down. At very worst, I think he's an elite core special teams type guy, core special teams player. And then I do think he's probably a starting caliber linebacker as a second or a third round pick. But I really liked Edgerrin Cooper.
I like him too. He comes off the edge a lot too. Like I like that he's just.
Well,
like,
that's his name.
Fair. We're still doing the name thing. I like it. You know what?
I mean, I'm going to tell you.
He is. He's Edgerrin Cooper.
Exactly.
I also wrote boom. He's got a lot of boom to his game. He's a big playmaker. He's he's a loud hitter. Pretty fast. And the only thing I wrote about that was negative, his instincts kind of like scare me a little bit because he's very fast to the ball, but someone can also run right by him because he gives himself no room for error almost. And so that's kind of worrisome to me, but I like him and I like somebody who just goes out there and makes plays.
Right. He's a football player. You said it previously, like football player on defense. I'm still a believer that matters. Like just guys that want to get to the ball, guys that I know it's cliche, like 11 hats to the ball, but I still believe there's a
11 hats to the ball. And that's why Paul Posluszny had 185 tackles in 5 seasons. Just saying.
You mentioned him, so let's get to him. He's next on my list, sort of, but even a little bit lower down. Jeremiah Trotter actually had a bigger year 2 years ago for Clemson, lived up to the name. He is kind of a thumper. Tight like his dad, 6 foot 228, not as big, has all the production, like you know, forced fumbles, interceptions, kind of all around the field for that defense. I think he led the team in tackles each of the last 2 years, which, as we talked about earlier, it's kind of your job. You're supposed to. You should be leading the team in tackles. It's like when Wes Welker used to say, you lead the league in yards after catch. He's like, well, I catch it at the line of scrimmage, so I should lead the league in yards after catch because I have to then run forward to gain any yards.
Right.
But yeah, I just think he's an athletic playmaker that's in the mix with this group that if you put him on your defense, will he play? Yup. Will he be good for you? Yup. Is he going to change the trajectory of your defense or your franchise? Nope.
I found myself writing old school linebacker next to him too. Yep. And now you're making me think that it's because he wore number 54 and not a single digit.
Yeah. If he was 11, you'd say he was lean.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But no, I'm with you though. Just like a guy who middle of the field, hat to the ball, knows what's going on, doesn't make many mistakes. And like you said, it's just someone who you plug him in. He's probably going to play football for 10 years and be really good. Maybe make a Pro Bowl, maybe not, but probably going to have a bunch of stats that tell you that he's at the ball a lot, which that's kind of what you ask for in a linebacker. So
along those lines, a guy I liked who seems like he's a little bit down the list in that Jeremiah Trotter fourth round pick somewhere, whatever range, is Cedric Gray out of North Carolina.
We are on the same wavelength on this one, Andy. I am a big fan of Cedric Gray as well.
Yeah. I don't really understand like why he's a little bit down the board. Actually, I do 4.64. And I do think there's an oversimplification. Like, oh, that guy ran a 4.47. That guy ran a 4.54, and that one ran a 4.64. Well, that guy goes last. Well, maybe. Although I do remember, was it last year? Gerard Mayo was talking about like the guy. You know, you could have one linebacker who runs a 4.4 and one who runs a 4.6, but the 4.6 knows where he's going, so they're going to get to the ball at the same time.
Exactly. Right. They are. Because
Gray is that guy. Like, is he a little slower? Sure. I'll meet you at the ball.
Yeah. If you understand the game more and you're that much faster than the guy who's really fast but doesn't know what the heck's going on, then you might even beat him to the ball. So,
right.
That's what I see in Cedric Gray. I mean, he's good against the rush, he's good against the pass. And I think that him being good against the pass has exactly to do with what we just said. He's smart and understands football, and he's not just a fast buzzsaw who just kind of runs around the field aimlessly. He's
like a chicken with his head cut off.
Exactly. So, I like him a lot. I think I have him ranked over Junior Colson. I think he's almost a better player than him. I just see, like we said with Colson, there's not a lot of like oohs and ahs to his game, where I see a lot more of that in Cedric Gray.
Well, and to be fair, like, I mean, that's Juwan Bentley was a fifth round pick, basically, as a three-time captain at Purdue who wasn't quite fast enough, but certainly was good for them and has now come in here and been good for you. Does he get exposed athletically occasionally? Yes. Although I think even he has improved in that area.
Yeah.
I thought his first couple of years that happened more often with scrambling quarterbacks and different people sort of exposing him. So that's how a lot of these guys are. So a couple guys I want to touch on now. One is a name guy because of the school and the name, and Tommy Eichenberg, because he's got a brother in the league and, you know, he's Ohio State. So you're always watching him play and Ohio State linebacker history and just for a lot of reasons. And he's a good player. He's a captain, second team, All-American. He doesn't wow me. Got a good motor. I don't see him anything above some of the rest of this group. Like, I think Gray and him. Okay. Tell me which one I get and I'll be fine with whichever one I get. The flip side of that is a guy that I didn't know much about, and based on comparing the beast to NFL.com sort of ratings is Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The beast, I believe, has like the second linebacker maybe taken, and NFL.com has him way down, maybe like 12th. On the list.
It's funny how that works, and it's kind of obvious, but that's just what the draft is. And it's like you try and find some people and you feel, and like everyone has similar like scouting reports on guys. Like, they do this well, they don't do this well, or they do this well, they do this poorly. But at the end of the day, like, the rankings are so much different.
Right.
It's kind of bizarre, but I mean, that's what this is.
Some of that gets into that old cliche we always used to joke about at Patriots.com. Like, you got to stack your board vertically and horizontally. So like, he's the seventh linebacker, but where does he rank compared to everybody? And
yeah,
if you get the seventh linebacker in the seventh round, he's really not that much different than the third linebacker in the third round. But right. In the meantime, I took a couple extra players with those picks at other positions that are better. And that, like, right. That whole hierarchy.
But I mean, that's sort of too why you see a guy like Puka Nacua go in the fifth round. Like, right. Because there's just value at other places. This team needs this. This team needs that. And, like, a guy can just get lost in the draft board. And then Sean McVay and Les Snead are sitting there like, oh, he's still here, and we know that this guy's going to kick ass at our system. Let's just take right. him.
And
there right. you go.
And then that's the other thing, too, is just systems and jobs and, like,
right.
you know, if you're running the old Tampa 2, you were looking for a linebacker who could turn and run to the middle of the field, and, like, he had that ability. If you were Bill Belichick, you were looking for a guy that could take on a guard at the line right. of scrimmage. Like, so you value those two guys very differently based on their skill set moving forward, going backwards. Like,
right.
Brandon Spikes was going to hit people at a, you know, in front of him between the guards, basically.
And that was it.
That was it.
You, like, turn your hips. Can't do
but
anything
if you
else.
Wanted right. him to do that, like, you right. thought he was a good player. Right. If you wanted him to run to the middle of the field like he was freaking Derek Brooks in the Tampa 2, well, that's on you.
You
got the wrong guy. You asked me right. to do the wrong thing. So I thought Wallace is fine. And you have some different guys in here. He's like, he's a Will linebacker. Some of the Mikes, like the Colson kid, whatever. Mm-hmm. He was a captain. I think he's fine. Like, he looked good on tape. He's 6'1", 237. As Rich Keefe says, when I text him ideas for the show sometimes, throw it on the pile. I feel like Trevin Wallace is, throw him on the pile of linebackers, and we'll grab one when we need one.
Right. That's where I'm at with, I'm going to say it a fifth time, but, like, okay. Peyton Wilson, Edgerrin Cooper, Jeremiah Trotter, Junior Colson, Cedric Gray, Tommy Eichenberg, Trevin Wallace.
Yes.
I could rank them six different ways for six different reasons, and they're very, like, they're all pretty similar to me as far as skill sets, where they're going to get taken, what they can bring to your team, and what, like, how they'll change things. And so, I don't know. That's just my thought on the position. Like, there are other years where linebackers are nasty and they're going to be difference makers. You're Micah Parsons, you're, again, Fred Warners, but
The guys that have the Edwards guy went to Buffalo in the top right. of the first round, or Devin White, Devin Bush, Patrick
yep.
Queen. I mean, we've had some guys that were first round picks, high first round picks. A lot of times it's speed based. They can run all over mm-hmm. the field with a 4.39 or whatever. Some of those guys ran pretty silly 40s. Some of it is where they're coming from and what they did, you know, at LSU or whatever.
Right.
And then some of it might be what we're talking about. Like, do I really need to take that guy that high, or can exactly. I get a guy that's, again, 95 cents on the dollar to do the job in the third round? And
right.
maybe wide receiver and tackle and some of these other spots are just significantly more important. But okay. So before we wrap this up, six rings and football things, safety and linebackers, two positions that Mike Kadlec doesn't like and doesn't care about.
Hey, I like the safeties.
Give me one from each position you wouldn't mind, or you may even think could make sense for the Patriots.
The number one the one for the Patriots is Sione Vaki from Utah. Love him. Get him here. I want to play him everywhere. I want to play him at linebacker, so I don't even have to pick a linebacker. But if I do, let's go with Cedric Gray from UNC. I like him a lot. I think he can do a lot. And he's the one that sticks out the most in the linebackers group, in my opinion.
Okay, I'm going to throw one against the wall, and I'm going to say Peyton Wilson.
Okay.
I'm going to say he gets devalued, and I know it's a different organization now in some ways with Bill Belichick gone, but, you know, this is a team that Rob Gronkowski, Sebastian Vollmer, like guys with back injuries and other issues, maybe they look at Peyton Wilson and say, yeah, his shoulders are a question, but if that question holds up for a year or 2 years or whatever, mm-hmm. we're getting a ridiculously productive, versatile, good football player. So I'll say Peyton Wilson for my linebacker pick. And then my safety pick, I'm going to go with Cameron Kitchens.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the Gerard Mayo quote about speed. Like, I think he'll look at him and say, yeah, his 40 says 4.6 something, but I watched him. He seems to always be around the ball. He likes to hit. He can tackle. He's probably the best tackler I saw in the, like, squares people yes. up textbook tackler. Mm-hmm. So I will go with Cameron Kitchens out of Miami. So that's going to put a wrap here
right.
on six rings and football things, not only on the linebackers and the safeties, but the totality. Cause no, we're not doing a podcast on punters, kickers, and long snappers. Not going to happen. First of all, they drafted him last year, although they might want to keep drafting at one of the positions because it didn't work out great. It has not been great for them, but we are not breaking that down because I know nothing about how to rate kickers and punters, and I'm sorry, whatever.
Did he make it? Yes. Good. Does he make? Does he miss? Yes. Bad.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Yeah, that's pretty much the sum of my knowledge. So, but next week we will be back with the final Six Rings in Football Things prospect-like podcast or pre-draft-specific podcast. We're going to break it all down, mock drafts, kind of dive into the totality of what's going on. As we have more information, we will talk to Elliot Wolf later in the week. There'll be more mock drafts, and we'll be coming down the home stretch of all the visits in the last minute. You know, sometimes you send an assistant coach somewhere to work somebody out real late in the process just to check some box off in the scouting report. So we're coming down the home stretch, but I would urge you, if you missed any of them, I actually had somebody stop me the other day and say they downloaded a bunch of them. They're like, wow, you guys really, really dove deep into some of those positions. And the tone of the talk was, not sure I needed that information, but hey, we put it out there for whoever wants it. We are now done. We did the sexy. We did quarterbacks. We did running backs. We did wide receivers. We did the not so sexy linebackers and safeties. We did our job. So if you want to listen, we appreciate it. Subscribe, rate, review, download the Odyssey app. We are Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. And for now, we have no more positions to do.
No more. Adios.
See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.